lesson after lesson, reminding us of it, taking us deeper until we owned it and we could start walking in it. And that's what's going to happen with this. God is getting ready to pour himself out on the churches like never before in history. He is getting ready to come for the greatest harvest, greater than ever. He said, these works I do, you will do greater than these, because I go to the Father, and he was sending the Holy Spirit to live in us. So all those who the Holy Spirit is living in, God wants to pour such an enormous amount of himself, of his Spirit into you, that we will be able to win the world, win all these people, this great harvest of souls, to Jesus. God is love. God is love. So when he pours himself on us, that means he's going to pour out love on us. He's going to pour an amazing God love into us. That is the great outpouring. And with it comes all the problems. That's why he hasn't been able to do it till now. Because we are limiting this outpouring. We are the reason he can't do it. Because we don't know how to handle it. We don't know how to handle his love. We don't know what to do when we get filled with this great love of God. We've had little touches. You're ministering to somebody and all of a sudden you love them like, wow, this has got to be God, because I never felt all this before. And you experience that love of God, and then it lifts. And you go, where did it go? Where did he go? Why can't I walk in that all the time? Well, he started showing me why we can't walk in it. And he can't pour out more of himself until we learn to walk in that love and what to do with that love, so that we don't actually destroy each other because of the wrong way of handling God's presence. So we're going to start with, I didn't even write this verse down. I thought I did. Wrath is cruel. Anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Do you know where that is? You can find it for me while I start talking about it. We've dealt with anger, and we know that anger is destructive. Anger can just shred somebody. When you're angry, it is cruel. It's poisonous. It is a hot displeasure. Fury, indignation, screaming, yelling, accusing, tearing people down. God says wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. Your nostrils flare and your forehead crinkles and you're passionate and overflowing with rage. And he said that is cruel and that is outrageous. And we've seen the destruction. If you've ever had anyone angry at you, screaming at you, you remember when you were a child and mom and dad were screaming at you and you thought they hated you and you were demolished by that hate and you got angry back. Anger begets anger. We have been deceived by that spirit into thinking anger is power. If I scream louder than you scream, you're going to do what I want. If I scream at you, you can't hurt me. It makes me strong. That is a lie. That is a lie. When you're angry with someone, you can't get nothing back but anger, because anger is hate. And that hate spirit comes in you, hates the person, and will cause them to hate you back and become angry at you. So anger is horribly wicked. And God said, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who's able to stand before envy? Envy is jealousy. And it's worse than hate and anger. It's worse than wrath and anger. Jealousy is the enemy of love. Jealousy is the arch enemy of love. And is the reason God cannot pour that degree of love out on us. That's why he can't do it. We are not able to stand, to endure, to grow, to be stabilized and established and be strong in the face of jealousy. Jealousy is so, so powerful. Jealousy, we'll read this in a little while, jealousy is cruel as the grave. It's as cruel as the grave. That means it's a killer of love. So I'm going to give you a little overview, and then we're going to come back and go through some things that God's been showing us about that. Love is as strong as death, and jealousy as cruel as the grave. The only way to overcome death is love. The way to feed death is jealousy. Now, God wants to come and outpour this love on us, this enormous love beyond anything we've ever experienced. And here's how it can be damaged by jealousy. We're all hungry to be loved. We're so hungry for our own healing and our own security. So we're going to take a picture of a marriage, and Harvey and I are going to be your bad examples today, which God likes to always do everything in us first, so we can be a good example sometimes and a rotten example other times and show you how this thing works. So Harvey came home from Israel full of the love of God. I mean, he was a different person. I mean, he was good before, but he came home. I knew he loved me before. I mean, I was secure. I thought I was really secure. We got a good marriage. He loves me. Things are cool. Better than they've ever been since we got together. But when he came home from Israel, he said, "I just want to touch you. I just can't keep my hands off you. I am so full of love. I am so full of God's love that I just can't leave you alone." And days, we went and got a hotel room for 3 days. And I mean, he touched my nose and he touched my ear and he played with my hair. And I would say, "I'm trying to tell you something. I can't help it," you know. He was so, and it wasn't just Harvey. I know he's touchy anyway, but it wasn't just Harvey. It was this infilling of God's love. And it was healing me. It was healing things deep inside of me. And I had hope. I had so much hope going on inside of me. And I'm like, wow. I just wanted to abandon myself and receive all this love. Now, I'm going to tell you that he brought this love in a way that at first scared me, because our love demands return. But he said, "I don't want anything from you. I don't even want you to touch me back. I don't want you to give me anything. This is for you, and all I want you to do is receive it." And I was like, wow, that's pretty non-threatening. And yet I have to make myself vulnerable to totally just receive this love without any self-defense. And I'm going, but I don't know if I really believe, you know, that, you know, I'm 61, I'm overweight, I'm like not feeling like I'm really the most beautiful thing in the world that he's telling me I am. You know, I'm going, come on, Harvey, you know I have eyes. You see some beautiful, young, thin girl, you have to look and compare and go, "Wish my wife was still young." And he says, "But I don't." He said, "But I'm not." He said, "I have so much love for you. I am so satisfied by just getting to love you. They don't even interest me anymore." I started believing him. Man, I started to believe him. I went, "He's crazy, but I'm buying it, you know. And I'm just receiving it. He really just loves me, you know. This is awesome. And I'm getting all kinds of healing, and it's going so great." And then we came in here to prayer training on Saturday. Now, y'all know, he doesn't because he's been in Israel, and he's got a bad memory. Y'all know that we've been learning in prayer training that you were very careful how you touch the opposite sex. Because even if your motives are pure, it may scare them. They may wonder why you're touching them, or maybe their husband or boyfriend or dad or wife or somebody else is going to get jealous, even if you're pure. So you have to be very careful in this touching thing. Well, we came to prayer ministry training, and all this love that he's filled up with, he starts speaking into Hannah, how much the Father God loves her. And he's holding her foot, because we were all in, he's on the floor and we were in chairs. He's holding her foot and speaking love into her. And I'm looking and going, he held my foot like that yesterday, getting jealous. I mean, God, I'm not going to be jealous. I am not a jealous person. I have not been a jealous person for years. I totally trust him. I'm rebuking spirits and going, this is just, I know this is God's love, and I know that it's pure, and I need to stop, you know, I shouldn't care about that. And Then he gets up in her face and takes her face in his hands and he's saying, "Do you hear me? Do you?" And he's just speaking how much the Father loves her. And then he holds her in his arms. And then he speaks. And then he holds her in his arms. Well, jealousy, I couldn't stand in the face of it. I was mad. I was like, I know that he's not having bad thoughts toward her, but I don't like her seeing what's mine anyway. I don't like her getting touched. That is mine. That physical affection belongs to me and no other female on this earth. And I just got myself together, and I didn't want to hurt Hannah because she didn't do anything wrong. I didn't want to hurt Hannah, so I just kept not saying anything. And finally, I had to say something. And I said, "Harvey crossed the lines. We aren't allowed to touch opposite sex that way. And he crossed the lines, and he was wrong. He should not have done that." And I explained that a little bit, and everybody agreed. And then I said, "We're leaving, Harvey. Let's go." Because I wanted to kill him in the car, you know. So I get him out in the car, and I'm crying. I don't cry. I am crying. I was so hurt. I was so demolished. Stop it. You prayed those on me. I was so demolished because I felt he gave her the love that God sent home for me. And I was jealous because I still needed it. I don't like seeing him giving it to someone else. And I accused him, and I was angry. And I said, "Just don't touch me anymore. I don't want your touches anymore. How many girls in Israel did you wrap your father arms around?" You know, I'm accusing him. I'm angry with him. I'm done with him. And like, that's it. Whatever you thought you were coming home to do is done. You know, I don't trust you anymore. I trusted him before. Now he gets this great love of God. I don't trust him anymore because he wasn't careful how he ministered it to someone else. And I was wrong. See, the spirit of jealousy was lying to me. He was wrong in what he did, but I was wrong in the way that I handled the response. And I let jealousy be cruel and angry and strike out and destroy. And you know, there's some more verses on jealousy. There's some more. It says that jealousy... I'm trying to find it because I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit. We'll get there. We're going to come back to jealousy. But it describes it as a lightning, fiery bolt of hate and destruction when you throw it at someone. And it is such a lying spirit because it says, "This is my person and you better not touch him and you better not touch anybody," and it's hateful. So if it's a hateful spirit, all it's putting in the person you love is hate. Anger and pushing them away from you. It says, "Hold on to what's yours," while it pushes them away. But you see, if you have this love of God and you let it flow to your mate, they will be so self-satisfied in you, they won't want anyone else. They won't. So you see the danger, you see the problem God has? We are the problem God has. We are not loving our mate. We are not loving our children. We're not loving ourselves. We are not loved enough to see someone we love anyone else without the attack of the jealousy. I still need my healing, but I destroyed what God was doing in him. And he tried to bring it back, but it wasn't back. It was Harvey again, just trying hard and saying, I'm going to keep doing this. I'm going to keep loving you. I'm going to keep loving you. And then he's grieving because he says, "God lifted, God lifted. I don't want God to lift. I wanted to keep giving you that, but God lifted." And I'm going, "Yeah, and I'm the one that killed God, you know. I killed God in him." And so we're both walking around in guilt for 2 days, beating ourselves up. He's just beating himself up because he hurt me. And I'm beating myself up because I killed God in him. Both of us wanted that love, and it ripped us apart, not knowing what to do with it. So God wants to bring it into our home. That's why the Bible says a man must rule his own house well before God will release him into the body of the church. You can't release more into your ministry than you do into your mate and into your children, or you will tear your home apart with jealousy. Well, when a man rules his home, to rule it doesn't mean I have all the rules in order, and I won't beat anybody that doesn't follow them. And then my kids go out, and they misbehave, so I have to quit the ministry because they're not behaving. If that were true, God would have to quit the ministry because all of us children don't behave. But it's about how you lead your home in love. When my kids were growing up, Jamie started becoming a teenager, and she had opportunity to get out from under us and go do some things of her own choice. And she told me one time, she says, there were so many times, Mom, I was out there and I wanted so bad maybe to take a drink or smoke a cigarette or wear bad clothing or eat other things. She says, there were so many times I was tempted and I wanted to do it and I thought about how it would break your heart. And I couldn't stand the thought of breaking your heart. That's what God wants. He wants us to obey and live for Him because we can't stand the thought of breaking the heart of the one who loves us so much.
Motivated by
love. Do you know that when we fall and we sin and we do wrong and we're over there and the devil is going, you're so wicked, you're never going to change. I don't know how God puts up with you. And you're going, yeah, I'm bad, I'm bad. I don't even deserve to live. You know what God is doing? Weeping. Weeping. Like a broken-hearted mother. Weeping. I am so broken-hearted for my children. Why can't they just accept my love? Why can't they just let me heal them? Why can't they just stay near me so I can help? And then the devil beats you up and he's weeping because you're believing the lies of the devil and staying away from God even longer. He's such a lover. But he can only give us as much love as will do us good because of jealousy that would steal and destroy one another. So, if all of us were suddenly just outpoured by this great love of God and we run into ministry and start giving it away, our marriages would all be destroyed. We would. The jealousy at home. I mean, can you even think about it? I told Harvey I rebuked jealousy. I repented. I said, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I gave into that jealousy. I don't want that to live in me. I know you love me, and I know you love God, and I know your heart is pure, and I want you to be able to love people. And then I sat there and envisioned him hugging another woman. I went, no, not okay. Instant jealousy. It's not okay. And it's not okay. He's a jealous God. But it's a righteous jealousy. And when we go out and love the enemy and sleep with the enemy in ways that we do, it's adultery against God. And it breaks his heart and he weeps. He weeps. And he sends the Holy Spirit to woo us back. He does not come in with raging jealousy, shooting arrows of accusation, guilt, and hatred at us. He doesn't do that. That is wicked jealousy, cruel as death, cruel as the grave. God has chosen this place to pour himself out into us, and he's wanting to begin to do it. We're going to stay on this subject until God gets what he wants, because we're wounded, we're mistrusting, we're scared, we're insecure, we are fearful, insecure, and jealous, and possessive, and depressed, and giving up, and full of lies. And as long as we are, he can't pour that love in us. But he's not going to give up, because he's persistent. He's so persistent. He won't give up on us. So we're going to learn. Harvey and I are learning. We're going to learn to walk in this. When somebody wants to put great love on you and everything in you is scared and paranoid and distrusting, you're going, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see, we'll see. No, you can't do that. You cannot resist his love. You have to go, okay, there's no expectation on me to return the love. There's no expectation on me to do anything. So what is my part? Receive. Abandon myself and receive the love. Trust God. Abandon myself and receive the love. I thought about this in meetings that I've seen where the speaker up front, he's talking healing, he's talking love, he's talking inner healing, he's talking these things. And you know what they're doing? They're watching. They're watching. For who will receive? Because they came in full of God, ready to do a miracle, ready to love somebody, ready to flow out, but God cannot flow in if you shut him out.
Right.
He can't.
He won't.
He needs a receptacle. So when they're preaching, they have already got God. They're ready to give forth what he's doing. And they're looking around the room. And they see some people that get up and start going, I want you. I want God. I want this. And that's the people they let God flow to. Because they know, those that are skeptical going, I don't know about this, they're not going to receive. So God can't even bring it to you unless you let him. You have to abandon yourself every time his love comes to touch you. You have to abandon yourself and let his love come in. You have to receive it. We're going to get trained. We're going to get ready. We're going to love each other at home until we're secure. And we learn how to walk in his love, how to receive it, how to reciprocate it. Because you see, Harvey took all the burden off me. I thought at first he was going to demand that I love him more, and I'm going, I can't. I don't know how I can't, you know. I thought, but when he said, no expectation on you at all, I went, oh, what a relief. I just let him love me. And as he's loving me, love starts penetrating me until I want to love him back. But what are we afraid of? It's going to make me vulnerable. What's it going to lead to? What if I'm not able to reciprocate? Well, you know what? It's more likely, how can you possibly resist the love of God? It's powerful. Once you receive it, it overcomes everything. Little by little by little by little. All you have to do is receive it. Now, what if your mate doesn't get on board with this? It doesn't matter. God's going to go after whoever does get on board, and he'll win the other one through that. Sometimes it'll be you, and sometimes it'll be the other one. You don't have to make it up. You don't have to do anything but receive it from God. And when you receive it from God, you let it flow. Now, sometimes we're receiving it, and we're going, well, I think God's actually telling me right now to come over and just rub his hair or his ear or something. But what's he going to expect from me if I do? Where's it going to lead? What's he going to want? Huh? And then what if he wants me to... this is so terrible. I was such a non-touch person by the time Harvey met me. I was so damaged. He couldn't accidentally touch my finger passing salt without me getting upset. That's how bad I was about touch and motivation of what people... They're just going to hurt you if you let them touch you. And I took it to a physical place where I couldn't be touched. He kept touching anyway, but you know how persistent he is. He just told me I was going to marry him until I gave in and did. That's the truth. He pursued me all these years. Yeah. But there were times... Harvey was so good. He rubbed my feet. He rubbed my head. He rubbed my back. I mean, he's just a touchy person. But I would think sometimes I could rub his back. But if I do, he'll want it again tomorrow. And maybe I won't feel like it tomorrow. He'll want that tomorrow and the next day. And he's excessive. He's extreme. And man, if I rub his back one time, it'll be every day. Rub my back, rub my back, rub my back. And I won't want to do it tomorrow, so I'm not doing it today because it might mean I have to do it tomorrow. That's why we fear when God does move on us. You don't have to do anything tomorrow.
No.
You don't. You move when the love moves.
Right.
And if the love's not moving, you don't have to.
Right.
Give yourself that freedom.
Right.
Because otherwise you won't ever let love move. Because
right.
The devil's always got a way to stop you. There's nothing you have to do. It starts with you receiving the love from God. Just receiving. Just be a receiver. Let God love you. And then when he rises up in you to love someone else, let him do it. But not in ministry. You don't need to. You know, Harvey's always saying, God, I know you're coming to do something big and I just don't want flesh to touch it. That's a good rule. Don't let flesh touch it. Flesh doesn't have to touch it. Hannah did not need Harvey to physically touch her and insist, do you hear me? Do you hear me? Do you know God loves you? Can you hear me? Do you feel it? He didn't need to touch that. I've seen it where you touch somebody with one finger, they fall on the floor, and 2 hours later, they're still soaking in his love. It's a spirit thing he's doing. And in ministry, we cannot let our flesh touch it. On Sunday morning when we were praying for Lois, and I'm thinking, okay, God, now I want Lois to get this great love thing, but now we've made this realization that he can't really start hugging her, you know, and doing all that. So what do? And Jesus said, what do? I pass my love through my bride, the church. Let him pass his love through his bride to her. I said, wow, that's a good idea. If somebody does need to be hugged or touched a little bit longer, find a safe person. Their best friend, their own mate, their own dad, their own mom, their own sister. Find a safe person. Because just imagine if you've got a young girl who's really, really aching for the father's heart. And she's got a father with a bad relationship with him. And some other man steps in and he daddies her and he's pouring this father heart of God in her through him. And she is thinking, this man loves me like a daddy, and she's attaching to him. That's wrong. But if her dad is there, and he puts the dad in the middle, and he touches the dad while the dad hugs her, the love is going first into the dad, and then into her, and it's helping her bond with her own father. Find a safe person. They're both getting healed. Something big is happening. Keep our flesh out of it. Keep our words out of it. God doesn't need us to talk anyone into anything. Once he's flowing, he's doing it. Say what he tells you to say, no more, no less. That's all that needs to be said. I have so much. I mean, it's like one of those things when God opens it up, you're going, duh, it's all through the scripture. Where's my head been? Love, love, love is all through the scripture. God's love, not ours. Ours isn't enough. Ours is not enough. Song of Solomon 2:13. The fig tree puts forth her. I'm going to start with 2:10. My beloved spoke to me and he said to me, rise up. Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. Jesus said, rise up into this thing of love. Rise up to me, to a higher place, a great outpouring of love. Rise up. Come here with me. I love you, my fair one. Come here into love with me. Stand in it. Endure it. Press into it. Raise up. Strengthen up into his love. And come away. Come away from the place where you're stuck. Come away from jealousy and anger and fear and insecurity. They have to be exposed so they stop ruling our life. Come away from the place you're stuck. Come up into my love. Follow up into his love. Verse 11, for the winter is past. That's the dry, cold, cold, dark season of the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. He has rained into you. He has softened you and made you ready. The flowers appear on the earth. It's time. It's time to grow. It's time to open up and blossom with God. The time of singing of birds has come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The Holy Spirit, he's here. He's speaking. He's singing. He's calling us up to this place of love. The fig tree puts forth her green figs, and the vines with tender grapes give a good smell. Grapes always indicate the smell, the fragrance, the freshness of love. Vineyards are always a picture of a place of love. Come into the new realm. Come into this new realm. Arise into this place of love with God. Oh, my dove, you are in the clefts of the rock. You are hidden in Jesus. He's the rock. He has put you in a solid, safe place for this, in the secret places of the stairs. I love that, secret places of the stairs. We did a rainbow vision recently, and big rainbow came, and we went to the end of it, and it became stairs. And you can see this if you want to see it. Shut your eyes today and say, show me stairs on the rainbow. And it's walking up into a higher place of God's love, one step at a time, barefoot. Step on it. See what color it is. Let God love you in that place. There's a stairway right now. And you know that bow is right over the throne of God? And he invited us to walk right up into his very presence, into his love. The stairway. I love that. Let me see thy countenance. Unveil your face. Show him everything. Pour yourself out in vulnerability before him. Let me hear your voice. You're crying. You're singing. Pour out. For sweet is your voice, and your countenance is beautiful, comely. God says, the sound of your voice is sweet to me. Just seeing your face looking at me is beautiful to me. God is loving us. And 15, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Love is tender and delicate. And these little foxes, we have to seize them. We have to capture them. We have to handle them. We possess them. These are the little things in us. These are the fear, the hate, the fear, the unforgiveness, the insecurity, the jealousy. These are the things in us, our mindsets, our pledges, our choices. We've got to take hold of those things and evict them. Because Jesus is the vine that his love flows through to us. We are his branches. But if you've got all these clogs in your vine, you can't receive the love. My beloved is mine and I am his. He feeds among the lilies. He nourishes himself with our love. God feeds on our love. Until the day breaks, until the shadows flee away, turn my beloved to be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountain of Bethner. Until the shadows flee. All that darkness in us needs to flee. All those evil spirits need to flee. Song of Solomon 8:6. Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, and jealousy as cruel as the grave. For the coals are coals of fire, which have a most vehement flame. A seal is a protection. And it's also stamping somebody's emblem on you, meaning you belong to them. God said, stamp me upon your heart as your seal. Let it belong to only me. Let that heart belong to me. Open it. Be vulnerable. Receive everything he has for you. These coals are identified as the lightning bolts of hatred, burning, fiery destruction. Cruel as death, cruel as the grave. God is the only protection that we need because love is more powerful. It's as powerful as the death. But see, there's a battle between the jealousy, cruel as the grave, love, powerful as death. Which one is going to win? Which one is going to win? When your love is fulfilled, your jealousy will be purified, and it will not be the wrong kind of jealousy that will destroy the love. I think I'm going to stop there because I have a lot more, but I think we're going to keep bringing this because I just started, you know, I read all through Ephesians, all through Galatians, all through, you know, all the way through 1 John, and I'm going, you know what? This is good stuff. Could read the whole Bible again now just with this impacting power of love and see it and get it and own it. So go home and do it. Read those books. Ephesians, Galatians, and 1 John. God is love in 1 John. God is love. If we're going to have an outpouring of God, we're going to have an outpouring of love. There's just no other way to have an outpouring of God. And there's no way we let it flow in the face of jealousy because we are needy and possessive. The hopeless things can happen. The hopeless things can happen when God's love is there. The things that are malfunctioning in your home can change when God's love invades. But someone there has to receive it and let it flow. Someone has to be the receiver to let it start. Because when it touches others, they'll begin to receive it and let it flow too. So however little way, whatever little way it is, when it comes, beg him for it, be his receiver. Beg him for it, receive it. And when it comes, ask him how you can let it flow and risk it. Dare to risk it. Because otherwise you're going to stay wrapped up in deception and jealousy and fear, control and powers of the enemy, insecurity and failure over and over and over. And it's time to come up out of it. It's time to rise up into his love. Love will defeat all the enemies of our soul. And only love can do it. So let's be receivers. Let's be receivers. And let's be careful how we transmit it to others. Don't let your boundaries down. Because when you do, destruction comes. I've seen meetings, they irritated me. But now I understand them. Where they were standing on the other side of the church, taking imaginary bowling balls, throwing it at groups of people, and all the people fell down like bowling pins. And they laid on the floor and laughed for a while. And I was offended. Oh, that's not holy. Why would God do such a ridiculous thing? To keep his flesh, our flesh, off what he's doing. Nobody could accuse one of those men of touching any of those women wrongfully. Because no flesh touched him. Only God did. So if he starts taking balls and throwing them at people, and people are getting loved and hit by God, it's not foolishness, it's safety. It's safety. There's times you have to keep your hand on a person. Because that person is so antsy and fidgety and hyper, they won't lay still and get what God's doing unless they think they're going to offend you if they move. So just for the sake of them saying, I did this too because I was one of those antsy, you know, I want to lay down in church. It's okay at home, God, but not here. So I laid on the floor in the front of the church, and one woman came by, put her hand right on my spirit, pressed firmly, and I must have laid there, I don't know, 30, 45 minutes, and I'm going, I want to get up. I want to get up. If she would just take that hand off my stomach, I don't want to offend her if she's praying for me. I don't want to be rude to her while she's praying for me. Man, if she would lift that hand, I would get up. After a long time, I thought, I just got to look. I don't know how long that lady can stay there doing that. Opened my eyes. Pressure was there. There was no person. She left, I don't know when. God left the feeling there so I wouldn't get up. Because I would have got up too soon. But I want to be a receiver. I just want to abandon every fear, everything. And I said, God, I'm beginning to see this insecurity thing, this jealousy, this possessiveness, this fear. I'm seeing them. I'm seeing these spirits. And how powerfully they come against your love. And I don't want them in me. They are not going to get me. They are not going to live in me. Not happening. Not happening. I can't allow it. Because I can't allow anything to kill that presence of his love. So let's be receivers this morning. And let's just get filled up with some love that we can take first to our own home and let it flow. And God is so good. He's not going to have you walk in and do something so hard. He'll have you do something so simple. So simple. You'll be able to do it. Father, we just put this in your hands. We put this in your hands, Jesus. Holy Spirit, take these words. They're your words. Take them. Burn them into us. Lord, bring life into us that we might truly get this. Own it. Receive it. Accept it. And cooperate. We want to be the place where you can outpour yourself. Make us ready. Heal us so deeply that there is no jealousies in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I don't know what we're going to do. Soaking, no doubt. I thought Harvey might want to try the new picture for that today. If you need it. If not, if you weren't here, this is just for people who don't know how to just take in music and you keep thinking about work and thinking about everything. It's just so that you can find a color and follow it slowly And when you come to a little dot, you stop quick. When you come to a little bigger, when you stop longer. You come to a really big one, you have to stop a longer time. You follow any color that you want, and then you follow another color. Or you can jump colors. But it just keeps you from mental distraction. Just gives you something to do that will keep your mind free so God can get inside. So if you need the soaking picture, you're welcome to it. I don't know what we're going to soak to. Music, quiet, sounds.